A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 10. Yaemol. 4 rotations later, Din found himself hiding in the top branches of a Masasi tree, hoping that none of the younglings had seen him climbing up there. Jedi kids, Din had learned, were just like covert kids, except twice as dangerous and 3 times as fearless. Din had grown up playing hide and explode like any other self-respecting foundling. He'd learned to fight knives and blasters and whistling birds. He'd had access to a jetpack at 13. Jedi kids were worse. They ran around like a pack of wild loth wolves. Din's kid wasn't even the worst of them. Grogu was calm compared to a few of his crash mates. Grogu would at least check in with the nearest adult before herring off to scramble up the sides of pyramids or go poking at lizard crabs and piranha beetles. The rest of the younglings just did whatever they wanted. One of Grogu's age mates, a Mirlan girl named Yulia, had even figured out that if she jumped from the edge of a pyramid, she could use the force to float down to the ground while all the adults in the area rushed towards her shouting. She thought it was hilarious. Din thought that he'd gotten more gray hairs in the 4 days he'd been here than he'd gotten in the last 4 years. Still, Din had managed to win the approval of most of the older Jedi by diving over the edge after Yulia, snatching her up and using his jetpack to bring them both to the top of the temple again, which was good. He'd been swearing in 4 languages at the time, which had been less good, but the Jedi hadn't seemed to mind. The Wifid, Kikruch, still tended to follow Din around, glaring fiercely, but after that, the rest of the Jedi got comfortable enough to introduce themselves. In addition to Skywalker and Kikruch, the younglings were taught by 2 of the Jedi Din had already met, Chase Piru and Cal Kestis, and by another pair, a Kifar named Voss, who came and went from the temples at all hours, and the human man with graying dark hair Din had seen before, who introduced himself as Ferris Olin. Din had dropped his plate at that. He hadn't known that Ferris Olin was a Jedi. The Empire had been after Olin for years. His bounty had sat at the top of the stack of guild pucks for as long as Din could remember. By the time Din had come up in the guild enough to be considered for such high-risk pucks, Karga had stopped offering Olin's puck to anybody, tired of losing his top-tier hunters. The rest of the older Jedi were either still considered students themselves, like the Wookiee, or were unable, for one reason or another, to handle being around kids for a long period of time. Din supposed that he could understand. From the bits and pieces he was able to gather, lurking around the edges of conversations and watching Kukruk's lightsaber practices every morning, all of the Jedi at the Academy had either survived the purges because their friends had died to protect them, or by walling themselves off from the galaxy entirely. Skywalker's Academy was the first time in nearly 30 years that some of them had come together as a community again. The Jedi Order's wariness didn't bother Din. He stuck around anyway, either keeping an eye on the younglings, hunting, clearing out parts of the old pyramids for Skywalker, or finding increasingly creative ways to watch lightsaber practice, which was why he was up in a Masasi tree. Kikruch had caught Din out the second morning Din had gone to watch from across the walkway, and had firmly turned Din away. Lightsaber combat was a Jedi-only art, Kikruch had said, and most of the students at the academy were nervous enough without a stranger watching them like he was trying to steal their secrets. Din had stayed polite, agreed to leave, and gone to the top of the main pyramid to watch practice through his binocs. That had worked for 2 days, until the sun had caught the edges of Din's Beskar and given him away. The next day, Din had stripped off his armor before he could think about it, and had gone to hide in the trees. That was working so far. I should probably leave them alone, Din thought to himself, balanced on a particularly sturdy bough hidden by the leaves. Kikruch wasn't comfortable with the Mandalorian hanging around. That was fine. Din knew he should respect that and leave the Wifid to his practices. It was just that lightsaber combat was so interesting. It was like no other style of fighting Din had ever seen before. A few of the very oldest warriors in his tribe had been masters of Parkhad, their blades an extension of their bodies, but even they hadn't moved like Hakurk did with a lightsaber in his hand. Some of the moves the Wyff had demonstrated would be impossible for Din. From what Din could piece together, lightsaber combat relied heavily on the use of the Force. Din wasn't a Jedi. He wouldn't be able to pull off the tight flips and enormous leaps Kukruk was capable of, the preternaturally fast dance-like strikes and swings. But the basics, I think I can do. Din had been practicing. The Fly didn't have much inside her, despite being a light freighter. Din supposed that if the Fly mostly did freedom runs, there wasn't any need for the clutter that usually accumulated in a freighter. All the space was reserved for bodies. But that meant that there was plenty of room inside the ship for Din to mark out a rough training ring using paint he'd had Grogu swipe from the crash while Piru hadn't been looking. He'd started by practicing with his other weapons to make sure Din himself was still sharp. Despite the humidity, Yavin 4 was temperate enough that Din was starting to feel better. The nausea and vertigo were abating, his headaches faded. His energy returned, bolstered by decent food. The Latero, a friend of Kestis's named Grease, who definitely had once had a pretty high bounty on his head, was a good cook, though his definition of what was spicy or not and Din's definition varied wildly. 2 or 3 days into his visit, Din started feeling better, stronger, more like himself. He'd started to feel like he had on Tatooine. So he went through his drills with his knives and his blasters and his spear, the darksaber swinging against his hip, and after he'd watched a few of Kukruk's practices, Din started practicing with that, too. It's not that I want to keep it. It's that since I have it, I should probably know what to do with it, Din thought to himself, watching Kukruk move carefully through an 8-point form just basic enough Din thought he could manage it. Lightsaber combat, at least the kind that Kukruk taught, was more like the movements of a Minok than a Rancor. Din had been taught to fight like a Rancor. Hard. Fast. Dangerous. There could be grace in a Rancor, but grace wasn't the point. Winning was. The closest Din had ever got to a graceful fighting style was Parbevi, but the darksaber was too short to function well in that style. Din had tried it and flailed around like an idiot. He shifted his weight, careful to keep the branches underneath him from rustling or creaking. Din had always been good at making himself disappear. It had been necessary as a kid. He hadn't been able to outfight the other foundlings, but if he outhid them, he still won. He'd learned how to be invisible and silent, every thought turned towards remaining unseen, unnoticed, though it was harder in Beskar, and now he rarely bothered. Still, Din thought, watching the students follow the Wyfid's pattern. It's useful. Din had figured out Grogu's schedule, more or less. Younglings had class and playtime in the mornings with Chase Piru, then a free stretch of time to run around after lunch, more classes in the afternoons with different Jedi teachers, and then free time until last meal, after which they were put to bed. Din had some time left before Grogu got out of his morning class. Din had taken to stealing the kid away between his morning classes and lunch before he got too tired. Din would bring Grogu aboard the Fly and talk to him, or just watch Grogu putter around, touching the ship's walls, making inquisitive noises when he encountered something that he wanted Din to explain. It was nice. Peaceful. Din knew better than to expect it to last much longer, but for now, Skywalker's indulgence meant that Din was welcome here. Sooner or later, the itch to get moving again would start prickling between Din's shoulder blades, but he was in no hurry for now. Thinking about that made Din want to roll his shoulders, testing them. He'd been stingy with the Bacta while he'd been on Yavin 4. All the practice he'd been doing meant the ache in his shoulders had lingered, stretched, a clean burn of pain flickering through him, even as his bruises faded and healed. But all the practice in the world won't let me keep them much longer. Din would be headed back to Tatooine soon. He hadn't brought it up to Grogu, not wanting to upset the kid, but he wanted to, well, Din wanted to work again. He wanted to see Fett. Hunting for the Jedi and entertaining the kids was fine, good even, but the Jedi didn't need Din. The Jedi had strange powers and the backing of the New Republic. The Jedi would be fine. I'm needed elsewhere. Down in the training ring below, the lightsaber lesson was coming to an end. Kukruk was walking among his students now, having them all repeat the 8-pointed form he'd shown them. Din committed the form to memory as best he could, already itching to try it out. The Darksaber was shorter than any of the lightsabers Din had seen among the Jedi, but it could handle most of the forms Din had seen and had been able to replicate. Din waited up in the Masasi tree until the lesson had ended and the students had all filtered off back towards the main pyramid, where all the Jedi lived. Kikrook left the platform last. He looked suspiciously all around, checking the sides of the pyramid and shading his eyes against the sun, but Din held very still and focused all his thoughts on his breathing, his heartbeat. "You don't see me," he thought, watching Kikrook through narrowed eyes. Holding very still worked. Kikrook nodded, satisfied that Din was nowhere around, and lumbered off the platform after the others. Din stayed where he was until the Wyfid was too far away to see or hear him come down, and then began a slow, careful descent back through the tree to a more reasonable height. Din had stored all of his gear in a whisper bird nest halfway down, beneath the lip of the pyramid. From there, it would be easy to suit back up, strap his jetpack on, and coast back to the fly. The Jedi had gotten used to seeing Din crossing their skies, usually with a dead animal or a bag of sweet fruits in tow. Din had been keeping himself busy. The Jedi lived their days more or less peacefully, following the same routine every day, and Din disliked the long periods of quiet that fell over the temple. The silence and stillness made tension build underneath his Beskar like an itch he couldn't scratch, and his bruises were fading. Their effectiveness at honing his focus was fading, too. So he hunted or cleared out empty rooms in the lower levels of the pyramids, and it more or less worked to keep Din from getting too restless. But even wandering out in the Yavin jungle was starting to stretch thin. "I need to leave," Din thought. He jumped out of the tree and used the jetpack to get himself safely to the ground. He'd already brought some meat in for the kitchens. Nobody'd asked Din to cook yet, which was a little disappointing because Din had half-formed plans of winning all the kids over with ooze cake and scandaling Kikrook with Cure de Chaudure, which was so spicy it had once made Annika cry and Paz hallucinate. Din didn't have all the ingredients here, but he'd found some sort of native pepper that would probably work if he added enough. He was getting restless, though, and when Din got restless, he tended to get trigger-happy and hyper-alert. He didn't carry a blaster with him when he moved around the academy, but Din knew he could still hurt someone who surprised him, which meant that it was time to move on. He would hate to scare the kids or hurt one of the other Jedi, even Kikrook. Din began to climb up the pyramid. He could fly up, but liked the exertion, and sighed. "The kid's gonna be upset." Grogu liked having Din around. He liked riding on Din's shoulders and showing Din the things he'd found around the temple. He liked napping in the fly and seeing Din's face. Every time Din had brought Grogu up to the ship, he'd taken his helmet off so the kid could get to know him. Grogu loved it. He shrieked with joy and liked to pat Din's cheeks, his nose, tapping tiny claws against the bare patches along Din's jaw and the scar between Din's eyes. He'll be disappointed. Din would come back, of course. Skywalker would have to move to get rid of Din now, and even that wouldn't stop Din for long. Din was an excellent hunter. He'd find the kid again. But Grogu might not understand that. It was hard to tell how much Grogu understood and how much he didn't. Din sighed as he crested the top of the pyramid and crossed over the walkway towards the main pyramid. By the time he'd made it up there, Grogu's morning lessons would be more or less done, and Din could take the kid around for a while. Yavin's days were long and sunny. They still had plenty of time. "There's nothing for it," he thought, unhappily. Din did need to go. He had other responsibilities. Grogu would understand, he hoped. Din had had to leave the kid behind a few times before, with Peli or Kara or Omera. Din had done his best to teach the kid that he'd come back, and eventually Grogu'd gotten used to it. Still, Din wasn't looking forward to breaking the news. He crossed over and made his way into the main pyramid. Din knew his way around pretty well by now and found the crash without any trouble. His internal chrono had also held up. Lessons were just ending, the younglings all running around with cheerful abandon. Grogu had developed an uncanny sense, a force sense, now that Din thought about it, of when Din was near, because Din had no sooner stepped into the room than the kid's ears pricked up and he turned around, a snack hanging out of his mouth, and started searching for Din. "Bah!" Grogu called, holding out his arms excitedly. Din smiled. "Kid," he said, bending to scoop Grogu up. Grogu immediately started babbling about his day, waving his hands. He'd lost most of his snack down the front of Din's kuta, but Din was used to it. "Well?" Din asked, once Grogu stopped babbling enough for Din to get a word in edgewise. "Good day, kid. Were you good for Master Piru?"
"Patu," said Grogu happily.
Din looked at Piru, who was rumpled and covered in a variety of stains, but smiling.
"Very good," she said. "He's earned a break." "They all have," she added, looking at the younglings milling around.
She looked at Din, hopefully. Din sighed.
Piru was one of the Jedi who'd figured out that, in addition to cutting down vines and hunting for dinner, Din could always be counted on to put up with an hour or two of youngling minding. He nodded. "All right, kids, Master Mando's gonna be your teacher for now," she told the younglings, who all started to yell with delight.
Din winced at their volume, but couldn't be too upset about it. They were good kids, mostly. The younglings said their goodbyes to Piru and streamed out of the crash, leading Din back out into the sunlight, where they spilled down the sides of the pyramid to one of the lower levels. This one had been converted into a sort of rough meditation garden. Usually it was full of adult Jedi, or the gray-skinned Zabrak woman, Merrin, all of whom liked to meditate in the green space. But Merrin had gone off with Cal Kestis yesterday, and the other Jedi in the garden weren't meditating. The younglings shouted, excited. No meditating Jedi meant they could play some of their more exuberant games. Some of the kids went off to play, careful to stay in Din's line of sight, or attached themselves to one of the other Jedi hanging around the garden. The rest, including Grogu, demanded Din's attention. Din didn't even teach them much. He doubted that Skywalker would appreciate Din passing along his particular skill set, which was mostly combat-oriented or dubiously legal, especially if Skywalker was New Republic. Youngling minding usually just meant that Din served as a convenient climbing post for the future of the Jedi Order. It was easy once Din had figured out that the most effective strategy for managing them all was standing very still and letting the kids do what they wanted. Grogu was pretty good about keeping the other kids in line anyway. He liked to be the tallest, perched on Din's shoulder with a hand curled underneath Din's helmet for balance, and wasn't afraid of babbling what Din was pretty sure were toddler curses at any of the others who tried to climb higher than Din's chest. "I should probably have a talk with him about his language," Din thought idly. Mandalorian children were proficient in cursing before most of them could even walk, but the Jedi were more proper, civilized. A lot of the older ones had core world accents, every word crisp and careful, and even the ones who didn't, like Skywalker, were so serene-faced that it was hard to imagine them invoking a Hutt's anatomy if they dropped their calf or stubbed their toes.
"Bah," Grogu said, patting on Din's cheek insistently.
Din carefully craned his head around, holding the rest of himself still. He had Yulia and the little Rodian boy hanging off him like Willimanders. "What, kid?"
Bah, Grogu said, patting Din's face again.
His claws clanked against the Beskar and his ears twitched. "Oh," said Din, catching on. Grogu wanted him to take the helmet off. He shook his head. "Not here," he said. "Later. Back at the ship. Later, okay?" Grogu warbled, disgruntled. "No," Din repeated. Yulia and the Rodian stopped swinging off Din's arms. The Rodian let go and landed on his feet, cushioned by the Force, and Yulia turned her head around to look up at Din.
"Grogu's gonna cry," she informed him.
Din sighed. "Grogu is a little terror." "Crying is okay," Din told her. "He is allowed to cry. He is not..." And he shot Grogu a stern look through the helmet that had Grogu's ears wilting, tears already welling up in his big eyes. "Allowed to be a bully." It wasn't that Din was afraid to show his face to a bunch of Jedi kids, but it wasn't really something he wanted to do. Din wasn't ready yet. Maybe it was his own weakness, especially since he'd already shown his face to Skywalker, but Din wanted to keep the helmet on for a little while longer, to use it as a barrier between himself and the rest of the Jedi. If Grogu wanted to see Din's face, Grogu could wait until Din had him aboard the fly. Yulia sighed. "Sorry, Grogu," she said, letting go of Din's arm and floating to the ground. She tugged the Rodian boy's tunic and pulled him away.
The kids waved at Din, trundling off in their little wolf pack with the nearest Jedi, the gangly Wookiee who'd finally worked up the nerve to introduce himself 2 nights ago as Gungi. Grogu whimpered. Din looked at him, not impressed.
"Go on," he said. "Have your tantrum."
He figured out why the other kids had left pretty quick. Grogu's tantrums, while always loud, now included magic. Grogu started to wail in earnest, fat, fake tears spilling down his cheeks, and when he curled his claws into tiny fists and started to kick his feet, things around them started to move. Din sighed. He took Grogu down from his shoulder so the kid wouldn't topple off and hurt himself, tucking the kid against his chest, and settled in to ride it out. Grogu wailed louder. Din turned his auditory sensors down. Grogu had learned from experience not to beat his hands against Din's Beskar, since Beskar had no yield to it, so instead he waved his hands around frantically, his wails muted by Din's helmet. Vines all around them coiled and twitched, rocks and pebbles rattled, leaves shook and birds scattered. Din could feel the force of the kid's anger pushing against him, childish and stubborn, but Din was fairly heavy when he was armored up, and he knew that Grogu didn't want to hurt him. Grogu had lifted the mudhorn like it was nothing. If he really wanted to, he could toss Din around like a doll. But Grogu was a good kid, and Din had become very practiced at waiting out his explosions of temper, so after a handful of minutes, Grogu's wails quieted into upset little whimpers, and the force of his temper faded. Real tears leaked down his cheeks now. He rested his cheek against Din's chest and sniffled. Din patted him on the back gently. "I know, kid," he said. "It's hard to be a foot tall, isn't it?"
"Bah," Grogu whined.
"After your nap," Din promised. "You've got to learn you can't just throw your magic around to get what you want, okay? Not everybody has powers like you do. You could hurt somebody even if you don't mean to." Grogu whined again, ears drooping, and pushed his face into Din's cuirass. Din let the kid cuddle up. Din was sure it was hard to be about a foot tall and have a, well, have whatever Din was around. Din couldn't understand Grogu through the Force like the other Jedi could. All Din could do was do his best and hope that Grogu understood, if Din lived long enough to see him get older.
"Our friend says that I'm your Bwir," said Din softly, rubbing a soothing circle against Grogu's back.
"Can you say that? Bwir? He says that it means I'm your parent."
Grogu's ears twitched up.
"Bwir," Din repeated, shifting a little now that the kid had settled some. "We're elite clan. A clan of two."
"Bah," said Grogu, perking up enough to pull away from Din's chest to look up at him.
"Bahar."
Din smiled at him and wiped a few stray tears from the kid's face.
"Close," he said. "Keep practicing. Can you say, Alit?
Alit?
Leet," said Grogu. Din laughed. "Good," he said, bouncing the kid a little. "You'll get it, don't worry. I'll see if I can learn the word for frog eggs. That's probably your favorite, huh?"
Grogu warbled, tantrum banished, and started chewing on the edges of Din's cloak. Din let him, rocking him a little to keep the kid settled. The hairs on the back of his neck stood up. Din was being watched. He turned a little to get a better line of sight, tucking Grogu close against his chest protectively, and found himself watched by the boar-like eyes of Kukrook. The Jedi Master had changed into a long robe and cloak, his lightsaber tucked away. Din forced himself to relax and appear non-threatening, but Kukrook didn't seem in the mood for a fight. He was watching with calm eyes. His expression was difficult to read.
"Hello," Din said shortly. "Can I help you?"
"You're good with him," said Kukrook. Din blinked, taken aback. He'd expected more hostility from the Wifed.
"Thank you," Din said, shifting the kid around so he could see Kukrook too. Grogu waved, but kept the edge of Din's cloak in his mouth.
He lived with me for a while. I got pretty good at the tantrums."
Kukrook made a rumbly noise.
"You weren't afraid?"
"Why would I be afraid?" Din asked, confused.
Grogu was a foot tall and weighed about as much as Din's helmet. Then he put it together.
"Because of the Force?"
Kukrook nodded.
"That's pretty new,"
Din said. He wasn't as comfortable using the Force. We met a former Jedi, I guess, and she helped him figure the Force out again. Before her, he only used it if we were really in danger. He healed an ally once, saved me a few times, but that was about it. You're good with him, Kukruk repeated. His expression was hard to read. He held out his hands. Skywalker has called the Academy together before midday meal. I will take the child. His brusqueness was familiar. Din didn't argue. Skywalker had had a lot of mysterious Jedi business come up over the last few days. Din was never invited. Din gave Grogu over easily, tweaking the kid's ear. See you tonight, kid, he said. Be nice, okay? Grogu babbled an affirmative and let Kukruk carry him away. The garden had emptied, silence creeping back in. Rather than sit around and let it prickle at him, Din returned to the fly and practiced the lightsaber forms he'd watched. Dinner came and went. Relish food this time, rich and hearty. And Din stole the kid for what he realized was goodbye. Din left the rest of the Jedi and walked over to the fly, taking his helmet off so Grogu could see his face. Wah! Grogu said. A new sound. Din smiled. It sounded sort of like Buir. He let Grogu cuddle close, reaching up to rest a hand against Din's jaw. Din was getting better at not twitching away when the kid touched his face. I gotta go, kid, Din said softly, when they'd made it to the shadow of the fly. Grogu put his ears back like an angry Masif. Din sighed. I know, he said. I don't want to leave either. I missed you too, you know. The kid whined again, patting Din's jaw insistently. His eyes were huge and bright. Remember our friends? Din said softly. The ones who helped me rescue you? I owe them. I've been gone a while. They need me. I can't stay here all the time. Grogu mumbled unhappily, but he didn't start to wail or cry. Din hoped that meant he'd understood. He lifted the kid a bit so Din could press their foreheads together gently. The kid's skin was soft. It was strange to do this without a helmet. Din had only ever done this with other Mandalorians, a greeting and a goodbye among warriors of the tribe. But it felt right to do it with the kid. You're as much mine as you are the Jedi's, Din thought, fiercely. He pulled away and let Grogu grip Din's cloak. I will come back, Din told him, firm. I promise. And I keep my promises, remember? Grogu brightened at that. Din had kept his promises to the kid so far. Grogu patted Din's chest plate generously. Batu, he said. Din smiled. All right, he said, before he could let Grogu's big, sad eyes convince him to stay for another day. Now that we understand each other, let's get you back for bed, yeah? There's got to be a Jedi around here somewhere. Behind you, said Skywalker. Din startled. Skywalker seemed to have a preternatural ability to find Din when he was out of his helmet, and turned. Grogu called me, Skywalker explained. Din blinked. Grogu chirped. The kid's a comm link now, he thought. That's fine. So, Skywalker continued, what's going on? I'm leaving, Din said. Grogu whined, still unhappy, but Skywalker nodded. Today? He asked. Yes, said Din. It's time for me to get back to work. I've been here for a while. What do you do? Skywalker asked. Hunt? Some, said Din. I do whatever's needed of me. With other Mandalorians? Din nodded. He felt like he could say that and still be within the bounds of truth. Din was allied with both Bo-Katan and Fett. They had their own quests, but they were both Mandalorians, so Din wasn't lying. On Mandalore? Din blinked, surprised. He hadn't expected Skywalker to know of Mandalore. No, he said. There's... the planet's dead. I drift around. Been a lot of places. And now? Din shrugged. Still drifting, he said, which was also technically true. He smiled. We've still got the light cruiser. It's not the worst place I've ever stayed. Casca keeps redecorating, so eventually it won't even look imperial. Din's joke fell a bit flat. Skywalker nodded once. There was something in his eyes that told the same story. Years and years of moving from place to place, base to base, running whenever the enemy started to circle too close.
Ah,
Grogu said, reaching up to pat Din's chin. Din smiled down at the kid. I'll be back, he promised. I'll visit when I can, okay? Once or twice a month, if I can. Grogu made a disgruntled noise, but he didn't argue. He patted Din's cheek again, warbled a note, and held his arms out for Skywalker, who took him with a faint smile. You're welcome anytime, he said. And I've got your comm frequency, so if we need anything, or if Grogu misses you, we can call. I'd like that, said Din sincerely. He took one last look at the kid, tweaked one of his ears, and left before he could convince himself to stay for another day or six. He climbed back aboard the fly and started her ignition sequence, lifting into the air. The pyramid dropped away, farther and farther, Grogu and Skywalker shrinking in the viewport until the jungle swallowed them and Din was climbing through the atmosphere, back into the black. Din punched in the coordinates for Tatooine and slid smoothly into hyperspace, pushing aside any lingering doubts about leaving Grogu behind. He's with his own kind, he reminded himself. This is what's best for him. Din couldn't change the fact that Grogu was a Jedi. Wouldn't want to change the kid anyway. So he'd just have to accept this. He set his own feelings aside. The trip back to Tatooine from Yavin 4 wasn't terrible. Din fiddled with his nav computer, stabilized in hyperspace, and managed to force himself to sleep for a few hours. When he'd managed that, he got up and took to the training ring, going through the forms he remembered, the darksaber humming in his hand. Din was getting better with it. It was hard to judge his own progress, especially since he didn't have any enemies in front of him to try the darksaber out on, but mimicking a Jedi form felt better than the few clumsy steps of Parkhad Din remembered. The darksaber sparked and crackled. Din ran through the 8-point form he'd watched earlier, replicating Kukrook's powerful overhead strikes and blocks. He was nowhere near as fast at it as Kukrook had been, or even as fast as the students, but Din's body was learning to recognize the motions, riding the form into his muscles. Din practiced until he heard the nav computer ping softly, announcing the end of his trip. He deactivated the darksaber, clipped it back to his side, and mopped the sweat off his face and the back of his neck. He climbed back into the pilot seat to drop out of hyperspace. Tatooine loomed in front of him, red and yellow and orange and familiar, the moons tucked away on the other side of the planet. Din approached the palace directly, cutting down through the atmosphere and making planetfall without any trouble. The fly was small enough that she fit nicely next to Fett's fire spray, her thrusters kicking up sand as Din brought her down. He'd pinged the palace's only open frequency as he'd come in, forwarding the fly's information. Nobody had responded, but nobody'd shot Din down over the sands either, so someone must have heard him coming. He made sure he had what he needed off the fly. Din wasn't sure he'd keep the ship, since it was a freedom ship and he wasn't a freedom runner, and climbed out, relieved at Tatooine's dry heat. Any more time on a jungle world might have rusted out his wires entirely, and Din didn't know how good a hand Fett was at forging. The same lazy Nuxin was keeping an eye on the landing pad. A battered comm system was hooked up next to it, the frequency crackling with static. Din rolled his eyes. He had been heard then, the Nuxin just hadn't bothered to respond.
Chao basa bata,
the Nuxin drawled, each word stretched out as far as the Nuxin could make it.
Thanks, Din muttered. Kudenu bata.
The Nuxin flicked its fin at him. Din had no idea what that meant, and was starting to smell the Nuxin through his helmet's filter anyway, so he inclined his head and left, angling for the palace. There were more beings in the halls this time. It was roughly midday, just after the time Fett usually held court, so Din supposed he could understand the crowd. But there were more than just petitioners and beings with business around. The guard roster had been bolstered a good bit, a mingled pack of humans and Tuskens posted at most doors or patrolling the halls. Din studied the Tuskens. He didn't recognize the markings on their Gaddafi. The Raiders weren't one of the tribes Din knew. He was surprised to see that they had apparently consented to guard duty. Tuskens as a whole didn't tend to stay in one place long enough to pick up guard skills.
Fett must have struck a few more contracts, Din thought.
It looked like Fett's deal with Mos Pelgo was working out, at least for now. Someone had thought it a good investment anyway, if Fett now had enough business to support all of the new guards. There were other palace employees, too. None of them had a uniform or anything like that, but Din had worked in the fringes of enough outfits to be able to sort the blade back out from the Bantha. More bounty hunters had come, drawn in by the prospect of work. Smugglers and spicers had moved into many of the guest rooms that had stood empty during Din's first visit. Other support staff, cleaners, splicers, informants, entertainers, had come too. The whole economy of the region would likely depend on Fett before the end of the season. Din couldn't help but be pleased. It looked like Fett's business was starting to thrive again, despite Bib Fortuna's best efforts to run the Tatooine operation into the ground. Despite the new faces, everyone seemed to know instinctively who Din was. They all got out of his way, even the other bounty hunters. Din accepted their deference without comment. The Bounty Hunters Guild had been the same. He found Fett and Fennec both in the throne room. Court was over, the throne empty, and soft music played while Nura and a slight human woman ran drinks and plates of food across the room to various groups of chatting guests. Fennec was entertaining one group, leaning in close with four or five sentients, all of them dressed in the same sort of dangerous-looking black getup as Fennec, and Fett was entertaining another. Fett's group was all Tusken warriors, the conversation flickering around and around in fast, sharp signs. Since Fennec was the one who'd probably shoot first if surprised, Din made sure she saw him first. She raised an eyebrow and gave him a slight smile. He nodded. Then Din made his way over to Fett, the crowd parting around him. He arrived just in time to catch the tail end of one raider's argument, something about trespassers and poisoned water. Fett looked up. He was helmeted, probably to set the Tuskens at ease, but Din could almost imagine his expression anyway, thoughtful and intent, head tilting back to take Din in. Fett's hands moved. "Honored guests," he signed, his hands a little slower and more careful than Din's own would be. "My friend." Din inclined his head, looking for the warrior with the most elaborate gaderfi. He brought his own hands together in greeting and gave them his name. The chieftain nodded. "I know you," he said. "We saw you in the canyons. You were the hunter. You were Tuskra." Din nodded. "I am Ashek," said the chieftain. "We," he gestured at his warriors, who were watching Din with interest, "are spotted Anuba." Din paled. He didn't do anything stupid like reach for his blaster, but his body came on alert. He looked at Fett. Fett shook his head slightly. So slightly it was almost imperceptible. Din worked his jaw, but made no further move. Fett wasn't under threat. Ashek made a pleased, chuckling sort of noise in the back of his throat. The sound was picked up and echoed by his warriors. "You know us," Ashek said. "You are White Bantha. Your brothers have killed many of mine in the sands." "And your brother's mine," Din signed back carefully. He looked at Fett again, who hadn't moved. Din's pulse hammered. The spotted Anuba were a dread legend in the Great Dune Sea. Settlers, travelers, and even other Tuskens feared them. They were vicious and territorial, even by Tusken standards, and also just plain odd. The spotted Anuba kept strange histories in strange ways. They were cursed, other raiders had said. Haunted by a vengeful desert spirit they had offended with their exceptional cruelty and pride. Din didn't know about spirits, but he knew the Spotted Anuba band's deeds. They sacked settlements, kidnapped women, attacked towns. Their warriors came of age by killing pod racers on the Hutt holy days. Unlike most tribes, which would spare settlers' children and even adopt some into their tribes, the Spotted Anuba killed anyone they deemed a trespasser. Instead of Bantha, they raised bladebacks and rode the beasts across the desert. "This is the law of the desert," Ashek said, his growling laughter subsiding. "They spared me in the canyons." Din couldn't believe it. He had never heard of the spotted Anuba sparing anyone. Their definition of Tuskra was their own tribe. Everyone else was Gwyra, an outsider, and outsiders were killed without mercy. Ashek is here as my guest, Fett broke in, speaking loud enough to be heard beyond the little band of warriors. Din realized abruptly that most other conversations in the throne room had dropped off. He's here to offer his warrior skills. An alliance, Din said, trying not to sound doubtful. I didn't know the Spotted Anuba made alliances. Ashek conceded the point gracefully enough. He chuckled again. The old Spotted Anuba would not, he said. I am the new chieftain. Akharhan was backwards and too slow to change. He drove us to the brink of extinction. The desert is changing. I will see the Spotted Anuba change with it. By allying with a settler, Din returned, still doubtful. He could buy that the Spotted Anuba's youngest warriors wanted to see a change. The last Din had heard, most of that tribe had died out in retaliations for attacks on settlements. Their prominence in the desert had started to wither, like a cedar tree cut from its roots. A friend, Ashek countered. He looked at Fett. He is blood kin with my father's sister. She claims him as kin, so he is kin to me, as you are to the White Bantha. Ushib, Din realized. He glared at Fett. Fett had neglected to mention that Ushib was Spotted Anuba. Din got the feeling that Fett was smiling at him. He glared harder. Ashek and I have business in the Southern Dune Sea, it sounds like, Fett said. But we can discuss it tomorrow, yeah? He repeated the words in Tuscan sign, to which Ashek nodded. Good, said Fett. He pressed his closed fist to his chest. Ashek mirrored him, as did Ashek's warriors. The huddle broke up, the warriors shifting away. Din eyed Fett, still a bit alarmed and on edge. He's as bad as any of the kids, he thought, thinking of Yulia laughing and leaping off the edge of a pyramid. Spotted Anuba, Din said flatly. Fett shrugged. Why not? He asked. They know the Dune Sea better than anyone else, and as rarely as they make an ally, once they do, their word is good. Allying with them might hurt your chances with other settlements, Din warned. There's not an outpost within a week's ride of Mos Eisley that hasn't lost people to an Anuba raid. Fett shrugged again. I'll put out that fire when it flares up, he said. He looked Din up and down again. Well, he said, let's get you paid up. Buzz Pity go all right? Din appreciated the transition back into business, the easy acceptance. Fett didn't make a big fuss over Din returning, treated his return like it had been inevitable, like he hadn't even been concerned that Din would go off and never come back in the first place. Din gave Fett a neat report on the freedom run to Boz Pity as they walked together to the lift up towards Fett's rooms without needing to discuss it. Fett wasn't surprised about the Trandoshans. Apparently Vance's network had a leak, because slave hunters had shown up at the last three freedom runs, and listened to Din's report with interest. He asked after the Jedi, too, mostly the kid. Din filled him in with as much detail as he could without giving away the Jedi's location. So they don't think your kid's gonna lose it and try to take over the galaxy? Fett asked as the second lift rattled to a stop and opened into Fett's rooms. Fett took his helmet off immediately, tucking it under his arm. Din frowned. There was a new scar behind Fett's right ear, red and puckered. No, said Din, not right now at least. What happened to you? But, said Fett, touching his ear with a gloved hand. He shrugged. Fennec and I got wind of another Hutt assassin touching down in Mos Eisley. Thought we'd go pay him a visit before he could come to us. He turned out to be handy with a grenade. Din snorted, deeply unimpressed. When was this? 3 or 4 days after you left, Fett said. You haven't had any Bacta? I have, Fett assured him. But it turns out I'm pretty resistant to the stuff after getting half-digested by a sarlacc, so it doesn't work as well. What's one more scar, though, you know? Din allowed him that. What about you? Fett asked. Any new scars? Din shook his head. A few bruises on Boss Pity, he said. None with the Jedi. I think if they ever decide to kill me, they just turn me inside out or something. Jetisse, Fett grumbled, the word thick in Mandalorian. He shook his head. Really, though, you're good with them? They're gonna treat your kid right. Din nodded. He's happy there, he said, with people who understand him. Skywalker likes him, it's just that Skywalker's never met a Mandalorian kid, I guess.
Adika, said Fett.
He looked at Din, who blinked before remembering the cantina, the patient tones in Fett's voice as he taught Din a handful of Mandoa, of the language they were supposed to share.
Adika, Din repeated, seeing the pattern at once. Ika for little or small, odd for child.
I taught Grogu a few words, or tried to. He doesn't talk yet, just makes noise. Fett raised a scarred eyebrow. Oh, he said. What words? Futun? Shabuir? No, said Din, scandalized. He remembered some of the things he'd said while rescuing Yulia from her dive over the side of the temple, and blushed. Well, not intentionally. I taught him Buir. Alit. He probably knows Shabuir already. Fett laughed. Kids do seem to pick up that one early, he said. I think I learned that one before I could walk. It's good that you're teaching the kid. He should know his Manda, too, before his head gets too full of Jedi nonsense. That made Din smile. I don't think it's all nonsense, he said. The Jedi were all right. Their ways were utterly foreign, but Din had liked them well enough. Fett snorted. He waved Din over to his workbench, still scattered with data pads and bits and pieces of work. Din followed. He'd thought that stepping into Fett's rooms again would be hard, impossible. He'd thought that his body would remember and light up all at once, betraying Din before he could even step out of the lift. But Fett's rooms during the day were completely different than they were at night. At night, they felt private, intimate, everything tuned to push Din off balance. During the day, they were just Fett's rooms. Open to the desert, breezy, with the evidence of how hard Fett was working scattered everywhere. Fett reached under the work table and pulled out a stack of Beskar ingots. Then another. And another. Din stopped. Fett huffed at him. You left for Bos Pity before you could settle up for Mos Pelgo, he said. Your pay for the freedom runs tacked on. Oh, and I found this for you. He reached underneath the work table again and pulled out a small, strange, fragile-looking object. It looked like it was made of glass and had a faint design etched into it. Fett held it out to Din. Din picked it up carefully, turning it over in his hands. It wasn't as fragile as it looked. The edges and design were made out of some fancy spindly metal, bronzium if Din had to guess, but the body of it was Umbaran glass, thick and sturdy. It looked like a puzzle of some kind. Din ran a thumb down one gilded edge and sparked a memory. He closed his eyes to chase it. Dark wood, steady hands, endless patience. A box taking shape, perfect cuts of wood slotting together to form a beautiful whole. Look, the memory said. Look closer. Din opened his eyes and studied the cube. He could see the seams now, the grooves where disparate parts had been slotted together so neatly they looked seamless. What is it? I think it's a holocron, said Fett. Din tilted his head. A what? A holocron, Fett repeated. A Jedi artifact. They use them for... Well, I don't really know what they use them for, Fett admitted. And that one's broken anyway. Din turned the cube over in his hands and saw that Fett was right. The Umbaran glass along one face had cracked. Jabba had probably taken it as payment and thrown it aside as soon as something new and shiny crossed his path. A Jedi artifact, Din repeated. Fett shrugged. A Jedi something, anyway. The only one I ever saw was blue. The shape of that one's the same, but it has no color. Din turned the cube over again. It looked almost dead. It looked like it should have been bright and glowing, almost alive, but the thing in Din's hand was cold and dark. He offered it back to Fett. Fett made no move to take it. I found it in with the rest of the old worm's junk, he said, gathering dust and worse. Thought you might like it. What use do I have for a broken Jedi holocron? You've got to stop giving me things, Din said, exasperated. He held the holocron out again. Fett grinned. Stop earning them, then, he returned. Din scowled. I'm serious, said Fett. You do good work. What kind of boss would I be if I didn't reward hard work, yeah? Din ignored the flicker of heat in his gut at the word reward. Hut-like, Din said flatly, which made Fett laugh. I don't want to be Jabba the Hutt, Fett said. He gestured at the pile of gleaming Beskar. This is just compensation. You've done what I asked, and you've done it well.
You've already given me a ship.
Cobb Vanth gave you a ship, said Fett easily. And since you killed a greater crate on his behalf, I'd say you more than earned her. Would it make you feel better to see what I'm paying Fennec?
No, Din said. He could imagine what Fett was paying Fennec if this was what he was paying Din.
The Beskar. Din had earned the Beskar. He could buy that. He counted the ingots quickly. There were the 16 he'd earned bringing Vanth back to the palace to strike a deal with Fett, plus 6 more. 1 Beskar ingot per person carried to Buzz Pity. A generous rate, but still within the bounds of believability. So I earned the Beskar, Din said. And the fly. But what did I do to earn the holocron?
Fett shrugged. You tell your Jedi friend about me?
Of course not. Then consider it payment for your discretion, said Fett.
Or a peace offering between me and Skywalker, if you want to give it to him. I don't care. Take the karking holocron, Jaren.
A peace offering. Din could believe that. He softened. Thank you, he said. Fett relaxed.
If I find any more Jedi scraps down there, I'll let you know, he said. But the next one Skywalker can buy off me, yeah? It's better for business.
Din smiled faintly, even though Fett couldn't see it.
I've seen what he's working with, he said. It's not credits, unfortunately.
Fett grunted. Figures. Din studied his pile of Beskar, the holocron still held loosely in his hands. He looked at Fett.
You have any empty crates laying around?
Fett did. He helped Din stack the Beskar into neat piles inside a battered metal crate. Din tucked the little cube inside, wedging it firmly against a corner so it wouldn't move around and get even more cracked. Even if the holocron was dead or broken beyond repair, maybe Skywalker would be glad to have it back.
I've got a meal in Mos Eisley in an hour, said Fett, once Din's payment was settled and packed.
Fett raised an eyebrow. Join me for a meal when I'm done? I can bring you up to speed with what you've missed. Din blinked. A knot of nervous excitement wound together in his stomach. A meal, he said, making the words in agreement. He hesitated.
Don't be a coward, Jaren.
Just a meal? Fett's eyes flickered.
Do you want more than a meal? He asked. I've got the time.
Din rallied his courage and made himself nod. His skin prickled. They had hours before evening yet, but anticipation uncurled in Din's belly anyway. His shoulders, now almost fully healed, tingled. Fett waited, patiently. Din cursed himself. Fett liked to hear an agreement or a refusal, especially for this. Yes, he made himself say. His voice was hoarse, but the vocoder bled most of that out. Yes, I want to. Very good, said Fett softly. A shiver went through Din, and all of a sudden the room felt familiar, intimate, even with the sun streaming in. Fett nodded. Okay, we can arrange that. Been a long few weeks for you, yeah? Din nodded, grateful that Fett had understood.
Then I'm happy to help, said Fett.
Din curled his hands around the crate, ready to bolt and spend the rest of the afternoon gathering his bravery again before it deserted him. Fett held up a finger.
Come without your armor, Fett said, in something comfortable. That way we don't have to worry about stacking it or anything later.
Din shivered again. It was one thing to take his helmet off in front of Fett, but coming to Fett without it felt like something else entirely. He swallowed.
Can you do that? Fett asked.
His dark eyes were steady and knowing. Another test, thought Din. He nodded.
I can do that, he said quietly. What time do you want me?
An hour or so before moonrise, 23 standard. Din nodded again. He could do that. 23 standard, he agreed. He lifted the crate, and this time Fett didn't stop him.
Good, said Fett. Your time is yours until then. Afternoon court's in an hour if you want to come.
Thus dismissed, Din made his way back into the lift and down into his own room. Even though he'd been gone for a while, the room was the same. It still had no personality, nothing in it to indicate that Din had ever stayed there. But Din was happy to see it anyway. The Beskar he'd earned hunting Xalta was where he'd left it. Din added it to his crate and tucked the crate under the bed, then went about his usual post-job routine. He checked the room for bugs or threats and found nothing. He hadn't expected anything, really, but it was good to check, especially if Fett had been escalating his conflict with the Hutts, and stripped, climbing into the Sonic. Semi-regular use had worked out most of the kinks in the system, so the Sonic worked well and didn't even make Din feel that sick. He scrubbed some water from the sink through his hair, fished out the old Wookiee clippers and trimmed his beard, the unruly ends of his hair. He didn't think about why he was doing it beyond the standard of hygiene that had been instilled in him through his training, but he did it. Din left enough stubble so he didn't feel entirely naked, but did his best to clean up the worst of the graying, curling ends of both his hair and his beard. When he was done, he rummaged around for clean clothes. Din had never had much by way of clothes. All he needed, usually, were underclothes, his kuta, and his armor. He'd kept a few spares on the crest, but hadn't picked anything else up himself since then. Someone, Fett probably, though Din tried not to think about it, feeling both cared for and laid bare at the same time, had stocked the room's one closet with a few changes of clothes, mostly loose, comfortable-looking dark pants and airy, open-collared shirts, standard attire on Tatooine, though there were a few changes of underclothes and a tidy single-piece thing that looked like it would fit comfortably under a kuta. Din ran his bare fingers over the fabric. The clothes were nicer than anything Din had ever chosen for himself, smooth and well-made, made soft with wear. He pulled his hand away, overwhelmed. They're just clothes, he told himself. It wasn't like Fett, who else would think to do this, was dressing Din up like a Twi'lek dancer. He'd just given Din clothes to be comfortable in whenever he wasn't wearing Beskar. Nobody but Fett would even see Din in a loose tunic and comfortable pants. Din chewed on his cheek. All of his clothes had been through a Sonic so many times the fabric was starting to wear out in places and some of the grime had been ground in. And if he didn't take some of the clothes in the closet, he wouldn't have anything to wear. Din pulled out a pair of dark gray pants and a cream-colored shirt, bringing a set of underclothes too, and dressed before he could talk himself out of it. He hung his own clothes in the Sonic and set it to the lowest setting, hoping that his kuta wouldn't fall to pieces, and passed the time going over his Beskar and his weapons. Caring for his gear was meditative and settled in more than just about anything else ever could. He was pretty sure that his circuitry, made damp by Boz Pity and Yavin 4, would survive, especially if he spent some time on Tatooine. Din made himself rest, too. He didn't manage to sleep. Anticipation was burning too brightly in his belly for that, but he did resolutely close his eyes and breathe deeply, turning his thoughts away every time they drifted to Fett's strong hands and his crate of tools and toys. I wonder what I'll use tonight. They'd tried one flogger, but Fett had had several, plus so many other things Din couldn't remember them all. He thought of the Wishok silk and shivered. Eventually, the light in his room shifted. The sun slid away, purple twilight creeping in, and Din rolled out of bed, stretching and forcing his nerves down. Excitement began to build. Dinner, he told himself sternly. He'd asked for more. Fett had agreed to more. But neither of them had said what more would mean. It'll be fine, Din told himself. He trusted Fett. He trusted Fett. He convinced himself to get back in the lift and take it to Fett's rooms. He even managed to leave his helmet behind, though he missed it dearly. When the doors opened, Din found Fett waiting for him, standing bent over his workbench, studying what looked like a set of blueprints brought up on a hollow. When the lift opened, Fett switched the blueprints off. Jaren, Fett said.
Even from across the room, Din could see approval and delight flicker across Fett's face.
You're right on time.
Din made himself smile crookedly.
A soldier's sense of time, he said. It's a hard habit to break.
Come here, said Fett, beckoning Din over. Din drifted closer, feeling strange and out of place in his borrowed clothes. Fett had, indeed, brought a meal. There were plates and plates of food, more than Din thought two people would eat.
It smelled delicious.
It smells familiar. Din couldn't help but perk up.
Tingilar? He asked.
Fett nodded. Don't know what the Jedi have been feeding you, wherever they are, he said. But I doubt it's as good as Tingilar, eh?
Not even close, Din muttered, refusing to feel bad about it.
Greez and the others had tried, had been generous and hospitable, and had fed Din right alongside the Jedi. But the sharp burn of spices in Din's nose now was better than anything he'd eaten on Yavin 4. He looked at Fett, then at the food. Din didn't see any chairs around the workbench. He tilted his head. Fett smiled, and this one had an edge to it.
You found your closet, he said.
Din resisted the urge to pick at the loose sleeves of a shirt.
It to your liking?
Din shrugged.
I'd like to revisit our earlier conversation about you giving me things, he said dryly.
That made Fett chuckle.
Thought you might want something more than your kuta for walking around, he said.
Don't worry, Jaren, I didn't rush out and get anything tailor-made. You'd be amazed what's lying around in this place.
Din could believe that. Jabba's palace was a warren of rooms, most of which had housed beings for hundreds of years. There was bound to be all sorts of things lying around, even comfortable clothes.
Thank you, Din said, tone stiff.
Fett nodded, pleased.
Don't mention it, he said. Just glad it's comfortable. You look different, out of your armor.
Din's brow furrowed.
So do you, he wanted to say, but that wasn't true. Fett was bulkier in the armor, but he looked the same in it or out of it. In Beskar or in his black robes. Fett carried himself the same either way, like he knew who he was all of the time.
Din blinked. He didn't know where that thought had come from. He didn't know what it meant for Din himself.
Before he could chase it, Fett straightened up, that steady presence filling the space around him. Din stood straighter in response, coming to attention.
So, Fett said.
He met Din's eyes.
You said you wanted this to be a meal and more.
Din nodded. Anticipation spiked.
Still feel that way?
Din nodded again.
Good, said Fett. Remember your word?
Gev.
Jate.
Kneel.
Carefully, Fett added, as Din took in the order and started to fold to the floor.
Din winced. Last time he had gone down fast, cracked his knees on the stone. This time he sank down more slowly, arranging himself carefully. He straightened his back, put his hands on his knees, and looked up at Fett. Fett looked down, eyes turning up at the edges.
Very nice, he said.
He came around the side of the work table, padding over to Din until he was close enough to touch.
You remember the rules?
I do, Din said. He didn't know if Fett wanted him to repeat them or not, but Din decided he'd wait until he was prompted. He didn't want to seem too eager, nervous. He took a few shallow, quiet breaths to steady himself.
So, said Fett lightly,
close enough that Din could feel the heat of him now, Fett's scent familiar and almost safe.
How was your trip?
Din blinked, thrown.
My trip?
Fett shrugged. He seemed to delight in throwing Din off balance.
Yeah, you spent a while with the Jedi, right? How was that? They try to burn you for a barbarian?
No, Din said. Skywalker was nice, I guess. Didn't give me any trouble or seem to care that I'm not a Jedi.
He almost said a Mandalorian.
Din swallowed. Shame and guilt prickled at him. He tried to push them away. He hadn't come here for that. Fett tilted his head.
But something about him bothered you.
Not him, Din said. Fett had read the discomfort in Din's face. He scowled. He really was going to need to learn how to hide his expressions if he was going to keep taking the helmet off. One day he'd managed to take it off for good, and if he was as easy to read as he felt here with Fett, Din would get himself killed. He shook his head a little, trying to clear it. Fett set his hand, very gently, against the back of Din's neck. His fingertips were warm.
Want to talk about it?
Din huffed a laugh, startled.
What, now? Here?
He felt Fett shrug. The motion lied against their only point of contact.
As good a place as any, said Fett. You have somewhere else to be?
In bed, Din thought, but didn't say it. It wasn't really true. He'd be tossing or turning anyway, twitching awake at every strange sound. Fett's fingers tightened.
I asked you a question, he said, tone still light. You have somewhere else to be?
Din swallowed.
No,
he said quietly. He was rewarded by blunt nails scratching lightly at his neck, little frissons of pleasure swelling up underneath Fett's fingers.
So tell me, said Fett. I don't want names or specifics, especially if you were asked to keep the secrets of the Jitisa in confidence, but it's bothering you, so tell me.
Din still hesitated.
Why do you want to know? He asked.
He felt Fett shrug again.
Because it bothers you, he said. I want to be the only thing bothering you here. Can't go back and undo whatever upset you, wherever you were, but we can at least talk it out and get over it. Make sure it doesn't bother you again.
Din snorted.
Does talking work for you? Manners, Fett reminded Din, though his fingers didn't stop their light scratching.
Din was warming up, sensations flaring and flickering.
And, yeah, it does sometimes, if I've got the right person to talk to.
Din flushed without meaning to.
Right, he said, chastised. The right person.
Fett sighed.
Come on, he said. Tell me. What's bothering you?
You can take your time, he added, noticing Din's conflicted expression. Din thought about it for a minute. Fett kept up his light scratching and petting, the sensation shifting toward something familiar and comfortable. The tension in Din's back began to melt again.
It was very peaceful with the Jedi, Din finally said, pulling his thoughts together. The Jedi there, they've been through as much as any Mandalorian. More. I grew up safe in the covert. We had to run often, and a few times the Empire or the Haxian Brood found us, but we were protected. We had our elders with us, and they kept us safe. Some of the Jedi lost everyone. The galaxy is a hard place to live in sometimes, said Fett steadily.
Din winced.
Fett had lost everyone, too. His father, his father's tribe. But his fingers kept petting, so Din kept talking. I just don't understand how anyone can live like they're choosing to live, he said. They say they want a life of peace, and they'll defend that life, I think. The kid's going to be safe there. I don't understand. I don't either, Fett admitted. Peace. There's no such thing as peace, not that I've seen. The peace the Empire brought came at the expense of their boot on our necks. That's not peace, not to me, but I'm not a Jedi.
Din nodded.
No, he said. Neither am I. You sure you're not worried about your kid?
Din nodded again.
Grogu's fine, he said. He has friends, teachers, people looking out for him. The New Republic knows about... Well, Skywalker's got friends there, so they run patrols in the system. Keep an eye on everything.
Fett made a noncommittal noise, tugging at a few of Din's curls.
You going back?
To visit, Din said, relaxing further. I told the kid I would.
Good, said Fett.
Din looked up in surprise. Fett hadn't expressed a single opinion in favor of the Jedi.
Fett rolled his eyes affectionately. The kid should get to know you, Fett explained. When my father was Baroya. He'd be gone for weeks at a time, keeping us fed. I understood, but when he'd come back from a job, walk through that door, it was the best feeling in the galaxy. The kid probably feels the same.
Din nodded.
Fett stopped his petting and wound his fingers through Din's hair again. Din tensed in anticipation. Fett had a good grip now. He curled his hands around his knees. Fett noticed and chuckled, low and dark.
Don't get too excited, he warned. We're not going to do anything too strenuous. If you want another session with the flogger or anything else in my collection, we can arrange it. But for tonight, I won't be hitting you.
Din frowned. The freshly healed skin of his back tingled, anticipation and dread and disappointment climbing in his belly.
Why not? Din asked, trying not to sound mutinous.
Don't know if you're up for it tonight, Fett said.
When Din opened his mouth to argue, Din was fine. He was probably in better condition than he'd been in a while, nurtured by Grease's cooking and Yavin 4's warm air. Fett shook him lightly like a massif scruffing an unruly pup.
You've had a long few cycles, Fett said. Maybe you're up to it, maybe you're not. Maybe I'm not up to it tonight.
Din wilted. He hadn't even considered Fett. Fett had had a busy set of cycles, too.
Sorry, he muttered, shamed. I didn't...
Hey, said Fett, tugging Din's hair a bit.
Don't worry about it. It's not your job to... Well, do whatever it is you think you failed to do and are kicking yourself for right now. That's why we always talk before the toys come out. Checking in is good. Keep somebody from getting really hurt, you know.
Din nodded, shame still gnawing at his ribs. He didn't understand why he was so affected. Ever since he'd gotten on his knees again, Din's emotions had fought against him, twisting out of his control. Fett hmmed.
Come here, he said. I have an idea.
Fett guided Din over to the other side of the work table, keeping a hand in Din's hair. Din stayed on his knees. Shuffling over was awkward, even uncomfortable, but the stone floor digging into his knees helped settle Din some. It reminded him that Fett was in control here, and Din trusted him.
Stay here, Fett said, letting Din go.
Din did, sitting back on his heels and watching Fett. Fett moved around easily, collecting two of the plates that had been on the table when Din had come in, and bringing them over to where Din knelt. Din looked at the plates, and then he looked at Fett, frowning slightly.
We're going to eat?
Fett smiled. Din would have to figure out how Fett managed to smile and convey an equal amount of warmth and menace. Din was starting to recognize that smile. It made his blood sing.
Yeah, a bit, he said. And if you're good, we're going to try something else.
Try what? Din asked, vaguely suspicious now. Fett's eyes glinted.
That's for you to find out, isn't it? He said.
Don't get up, he added when Din started to rise. Din eyed him, further confused, but obediently sank back down to rest his weight on his heels. Fett came to stand in front of Din, leaning back against the workbench. He handed Din a plate, which Din took, and then Fett surprised Din again by sinking down to the floor himself, folding his legs underneath him with a grunt, grimacing as he pulled at sore joints, and pulled his own plate into his lap. He raised an eyebrow at Din, who was staring at him now, thoroughly confused.
Well, said Fett, his tone gently laughing. Eat, Mandalorian.
It is, Din thought to himself, reaching for a spoon. Probably best just to play along. He dug in, appetite woken by the heady mix of spices in the air. The tingular was good, very good. Din caught palm peppers and ground apia, kamun, and ahar, and even sweet notes of fruit to cut some of the burn. The first few bites made Din's mouth water. The next few cleared his nose, his ears. By the time he'd finished his plate, his whole head was clear, every sense opened and alert. Fett, watching, smiled.
What do you think? He said. It passed muster? Got the right heticles?
It's good, Din assured him. He had a pretty solid suspicion that Fett had made this himself, which made Din's chest loose and tight at the same time. But I don't know what's Heticus? It's the feeling in your nose when you get that first taste of the spices in the air, Fett said. That sense that your meal is going to be good. Spicy.
Heticus, Din said, nodding.
Yeah, it had that.
Fett leaned back, pleased.
It's been a while since I've made Tingular like this. Not even the Tuscans like their food as hot as we do. Usually I have to cut out the palm peppers or the ahar, or nobody'll eat it.
Din grinned. He finished off the last bit of soft Jaipur bread, using it to sponge up the lingering burn in his mouth.
I thought about trying to trick one of the other Jedi into trying some cure de chardeur, he said, but that kind of felt like an act of war.
Fett barked a laugh, finishing his own meal.
I've seen that make grown men cry, he said. It'd probably flat-out kill a Jedi.
Din chuckled too, set his plate aside. He'd save the idea for later, if Kukruk did never warm up to Din. He looked to Fett, who had also set his plate aside. Fett looked back, steadily. A heat that had nothing to do with the good meal they'd shared began to build in Din's belly. He swallowed.
So? He asked, looking at Fett's chin.
Was I good?
Fett hummed lightly.
Yes, he said, standing up.
Din didn't bother trying to do the same. He knew what the answer would be. He'd stay on his knees until he was told to move.
Yes, you were very good.
Din shivered all over, flushing with the praise. You've earned your reward, I think, said Fett softly. Come here, I have an idea you might like.
Din shuffled forward on his knees, which made Fett rumble approvingly. Din shuffled close enough that he could feel Fett's heat again, that he could reach out and steady himself against Fett's thick legs if he wanted to. He looked up, searching for guidance.
Fett gave it.
Close your eyes, Fett said. And keep them closed, all right? If you think you can't, let me know. I can blindfold you.
Din thought of the Wishak silk again and couldn't stop the tremor that went through him, hot and cold at the same time. He did as he was told.
As soon as Din closed his eyes, the same thing that had happened last time happened again. His other senses expanded, anticipation sharpening them. He could hear every shift of Fett's body, feel the desert breeze across his skin. Din wasn't nearly naked this time, but chill bumps broke out across his arms anyway. Fett's hand settled at the back of Din's neck again. Din didn't jump this time. Fett rubbed his thumb against Din's skin soothingly.
Stand up, said Fett softly.
Din tried, unsteady without his eyes, but Fett helped him by taking Din's elbow. Din's body was aware of Fett's anyway. He knew that if he started to fall, Fett would catch him. Once on his feet, Din kept his eyes closed.
I'm going to guide you, said Fett, his voice soft and right in Din's ear.
His breath made Din shudder, more chill bumps rising down his neck, his side, all the way to the back of his knees. Fett pushed Din gently. Din went. He let Fett back him up, keeping his eyes closed, step by careful step, until Fett had Din pressed against the thick pillar in the center of the room again, the stone rough against Din's back.
Jate, said Fett. I'm going to take your shirt off, okay?
Din swallowed, his mouth suddenly very dry.
Okay, he said, even though he knew Fett wasn't really asking.
He almost heard Fett smile.
You're doing well, Fett said.
He let go of Din's neck and set both hands at the hem of Din's shirt.
Keep your eyes closed. Raise your arms with me.
Both orders were easy to follow. With his eyes closed, Din could almost imagine that he wasn't bearing himself to Fett, that he wasn't letting Fett strip him out of the only form of armor he'd brought in with him. He let Fett tug the shirt off over his head, heard it swish as Fett tossed it aside and it hit the ground.
Keep your arms up, said Fett.
Din's brow furrowed.
That would be harder. As soon as he was given the order, he felt the strain, faint as it was, in his shoulders, his elbows. Din was strong and in good shape, but being told to keep his arms up made him immediately aware of the mechanics of the action. But he still obeyed, wanting to hear Fett's gentle praise again, wanting to prove that he could do it. "Good," Fett said again, so close his breath tickled Din's beard. "Hold that, all right? Tell me when the strain is too much." Din opened his mouth to reply, but forgot to when Fett set his hands on Din's sides, just above his hips. Fett's hands were as big and rough as Din remembered. The blaster calluses, the scars accumulated from a life in the black, a life on the hunt. His fingernails were blunt. Fett started to move his hands, inspecting Din like he had the first night, just touching him everywhere, steady and gentle. Warmth coiled and spread, following Fett's hands. Din flinched when Fett grazed a particularly ticklish spot, the space between Din's third and fourth ribs, the bottoms of his armpits, and sighed when Fett found a sore muscle or an old scar. "I see what bruises you're talking about," Fett said, tracing the few Din still had from his encounter with the Trandoshans on Boz Pity. He sounded disgruntled. Din tried not to wince, but of course Fett saw him anyway, and patted a soothing hand down Din's side.
"Hazards of the job, right?"
he asked. Din nodded.
"Relax, Jerrica," Fett said. "You're fine."
Din tried to do what he was told, taking a few more shallow breaths, leaning back against the pillar to try and ground himself. Fett kept petting, the touch warming and gentle. And then all of a sudden it wasn't gentle at all. Fett found a patch of skin on Din's flank and pinched. Din yelped, surprised, and tried to twist away, his arms jerking down in an instinctive attempt to protect himself. Fett wasn't having any of that. He caught Din's wrists, pushing them back up to the pillar above Din's head, and used his bulk to pin Din against the pillar firmly. The spot he'd pinched tingled, the hurt fading quickly.
"You kept your eyes closed," Fett said, his tone infinitely darker and richer than it had been just moments ago.
The change made Din even dizzier than the abrupt pinch, than the whiplash he'd been getting all evening, moving from unfamiliar ground to unfamiliar ground.
"Very good, Jerrica. Can you keep your hands up? Do you need me to bind you?"
"No," Din croaked, even though he almost wanted Fett to bind him anyway. Din wanted to know what that felt like. But Fett was in control, so he would let Fett decide if and when to bind him. Din would do as he was told. He could do as he was told. Fett pressed his wrists into the stone, a firm reminder, and when he took his hand away, Din kept his own where they'd been put. "I can do this," he told himself, even as Fett's hands started to wander over his body again. "I can do this. I will do this." Now that he knew Fett's game, he determinedly didn't flinch or jerk or even cry out as Fett started to play, pinching here and there, twisting Din's flesh, pressing deep, small bruises over Din's ribs, his hips, his collarbone. The flickers of pain were deep and intense, but fast fading. None built and built like the flogger had. Fett was limited to just his hands. Din's breath was driven from him a few times, especially when Fett used his nails, but nothing was too much to bear. Din started to relax into it, even. It wasn't like Fett was clawing at him, trying to leave deep furrows or scratches. Fett was as intentional and deliberate in this as he was in everything. He pinched and twitched and bruised, leaving little beacons of sensation all over Din's body, amplified by his closed eyes, but nothing that would debilitate or even ache that much in the morning. It was almost enjoyable. Din kept his eyes closed and bore it, riding each little burst of pain from one touch to the next. He let sensation rule him, the texture of the stone wall against his back, the warmth of Fett's hands, the steady, deep hum of approval vibrating near Din's chest, Fett's pleasure rolling over him like waves. Din sank deeper and deeper into the feeling, letting it wash over him, envelop him.
Din didn't realize that he'd gotten hard until Fett tweaked a patch of skin particularly hard, breaking Din's deep calm. Din twisted again, a cry caught in his throat, and Fett pressed in to keep him still, and it was Fett's weight moving against Din that made Din shudder all over and realize that his cock had grown hard in his pants. Fett made a surprised sound. Din twisted, wanting to bring his hands down but not wanting to break the rules, and made a distressed noise in the back of his throat. "Jaren," Fett said, in an Allure's commanding tones. "Look at me. Look at me, okay?" Din obeyed. He opened his eyes and looked at Fett. Not into his eyes, because Din wasn't sure he could survive the embarrassment, but close enough. Fett's face was very close to Din's own. Only hand spans different separated them. "Jaren," Fett repeated, still in the same ringing tone. "Look at me." Din did. Fett, very slowly and deliberately, took one hand and set it over Din's hard cock. Din couldn't swallow back a small noise of relief. Fett didn't move, didn't grab Din's cock or stroke or even pull away. Din's eyes watered. He didn't know how to feel, aside from mortified. "Ah," said Fett. Din wanted to cringe, to shy away, but there was nowhere for him to go. Fett's hand was hot as a brand through the thin fabric of Din's pants. Fett didn't move at all, didn't even push down or pull away. Din didn't know what to do. If he shifted, tried to shy back to either side or the wall, he'd rub himself against Fett's hand. Din wasn't sure he could handle that. He couldn't move at all. If he pressed his legs together to try and preserve some modesty, he'd push himself further into Fett's palm, but if he opened his knees more, he'd invite a whole different kind of vulnerability. Din swallowed, throat clicking. "We haven't talked about this, have we?" Fett asked, tone softening. "No," managed Din, strained. "We haven't." Fett took his hand away. Din swallowed a whine, relieved and pained in equal measure. He didn't want Fett to see him like this. He wanted Fett to touch him again. "Hey," said Fett, gently taking Din's jaw, bringing Din's eyes up to meet his own. Fett's pupils were blown wide and hungry, and his expression was open, ravenous. "It's fine," he said. "It happens. It might be new for you, but it's not bad or something you should be ashamed about." Fett had Din by the face, even if his grip was light, so Din couldn't move away and hide like he wanted to. But he could move his eyes, so he looked away, focusing on the bridge of Fett's nose. Fett's grip tightened a little. Din's cock twitched. He swallowed another thin sound and tried not to swallow, feeling caught and flayed bare, dismantled and exposed. "It's nothing to be ashamed about," Fett repeated. "Do you need me to stop?" Din shook his head. "Take a second," Fett advised. "Think about it. Do you need me to stop?" Din did as he was told. He forced himself to calm down, to think, even though it was hard, his pulse racing, his shoulders so tense he felt like they would snap. "No," Din finally rasped. "Do you want me to stop?" Fett asked. Din frowned. "No," he said. "Need and want are different things," Fett said gently. "No," Din repeated. "All right," said Fett. His grip didn't loosen. "Tell me what will make me stop." "Gev." Fett nodded. "Orijate." The praise made warmth break out across Din, flickering over the tiny sore spots along his back, his sides. He took a steadying breath. "Do you want me to touch you?" said Fett, very deliberate. "We don't have to. If you want this to just be about pain and control, I can redirect you."
"You'll... what?"
"I can redirect this, if you want," Fett said. "I can keep going, like this, or I can change tactics, try something else. It's up to you."
"But I thought you liked to be in control,"
said Din, confused again. I do, Fett assured him, half smiling to ease Din's tension. But not at the expense of your trust. If you don't want to do this, we can stop. You don't even have to use your word, we can just stop.
Din tilted his head back against the pillar, looking blindly up at the ceiling.
He didn't know what he wanted. He didn't know how to find out.
I trust you, said Din, raggedly. I don't... I've never... But if it's you, I trust you. I don't want to stop. I want to see what happens.
You're sure?
Din nodded, still staring up at the ceiling. He put his hands back up over his head, pressing the backs of his wrists into the stone. He didn't remember bringing his hands down, but he must have at some point. Din swallowed.
Please, he added in a whisper, remembering his manners.
Fett rewarded Din by touching him. He didn't put his hand back on Din's cock, but he did slide one of his legs between Din's, pushing Din's knees wider with ease. Din could have fought, but he didn't want to. He let Fett take control. Fett rumbled at him, pleased, and pressed his thigh against Din. The pressure was good and all over, everywhere. This time Din did whine, the noise slipping loose before he could corral and catch it, and he bucked his hips. The friction stabbed into him, a slide that had Din trembling from head to toe.
He's barely touching me, Din thought, feeling overwhelmed and young, inexperienced.
It had been years since Din had done this with another person, and that had just been covert fumbling. This was something different, something new.
Easy, said Fett firmly, leveraging his weight to pin Din more thoroughly against the wall. He didn't let go of Din's jaw.
Settle down, you're all right. Din wanted to buck his hips again, but didn't think he was allowed. He bit his lip and tried to settle. It felt like being flogged all over again, without the sound of the flogger moving to help Din piece together what was happening. His heartbeat picked up. Fett set his other hand against Din's side, just underneath the span of his ribs. Din's breath hitched. Fett traced a few of the sore spots he'd left earlier, his blunt nails teasing, promising more pain.
Close your eyes, Fett invited.
Din stared at him. Fett's pupils were entirely blown, the actual color of his eyes just a thin rim of dark brown in the light. Din wondered what his own eyes looked like, if he looked just as hungry as Fett did, or if he just looked afraid. The hand at Din's side shifted, nails digging in. Din hissed. The pain was a prickle, sharp as thorns. Fett pushed at Din's cock again with his thigh, and the pleasure bolted up Din's spine, mingling with the pain. Din's mouth fell open, his breath stolen. Fett chuckled.
Easy, he said again, low and sweet.
Din shivered, skin twitching where Fett had him cornered. Those nails bit in even deeper, harder than a pinch, hard enough to bruise.
Yes, Din thought, panting harshly against Fett's hand around his jaw. That's what I wanted.
Eyes, Fett reminded him. Din closed his eyes, screwing them shut. Fett hummed in approval.
We'll go easy tonight, he said. Okay? I want you to bring yourself off, like this. Can you do that for me, Jerrica? Just like this.
Din flushed all over, hot and cold and hot again.
Like what? He stuttered, tongue tangling where Din had tried so hard to hold any sound back.
Fett rumbled again and pressed his thigh more firmly between Din's legs, pushing him open wider around the bulk of it. Din couldn't help but jerk again, rutting against Fett like he had no control. The friction made red stars burst behind Din's eyes. He could feel fluid beating up at the head of his cock, smearing the inside of his borrowed pants. Humiliation flickered. Fett would be able to feel it soon, too, if Din's cock kept leaking.
Come on, Shari, Fett encouraged. Roll your hips.
It was hard to make himself do what Fett said. Din was harder than he'd ever been in his life, but terror was clawing at his belly, a counterpoint to the sweet, bright sparks of pain spreading outward from Fett's Beskar grip.
"You can do it," Fett said. His voice was gentle, but it cut at Din like a knife.
"I don't," Din panted, hips stuttering again, the pleasure so sweet it threatened to rob Din of his control entirely. "I don't know how." Fett groaned, and Din realized abruptly that Fett was hard too. He'd angled his body in such a way that it was difficult to notice, but Din could feel Fett's own cock pressing against Din's hip, Fett's own pulse thundering through his fingertips. "This is good for him too," Din realized. Some of the wild terror ebbed. Fett liked this too. He wasn't just indulging Din, giving Din another gift he hadn't earned. Fett liked this. He was also getting something out of it. "He wants me to do this," Din realized. And that pushed him over the edge, convinced him to move, to roll his hips clumsily, pushing up against Fett's bulk as best he could. It wasn't easy. Fett was heavy, but that somehow made it even better. The small, stuttering motions, the pressure, the friction. Din didn't last long. He clumsily rolled his hips 4, 5, 6 times. Then the pressure and the sharp points of pain in his side tipped him over, and his cock jerked, his orgasm punching out of him. Din choked back another cry, pushing his head back against the pillar, knees shaking, whole body flushing cold with the aftermath.
"Easy," Fett murmured, gentling Din through it. "Easy, easy, Jerrica, you're all right. You did well. You did very well. Orijate."
Din tuned him out. In the aftermath of his orgasm, everything was overwhelming. Sharp and all over all at once. The breeze, the noise, the touch. Fett's hand still flat against Din's flank. Fett's weight still holding him up. Din's legs trembled. He didn't think that he could stand.
"Shh," Fett was saying, making soothing sounds. "Shh, it's all right, hold on."
And then Din was in the air, lifted like a Masif pup. He made a sound of protest. He was a bit shell-shocked, not dead, but Fett ignored him. He carried Din to the edge of his bed, where he set Din down upright and let him go. Din listed sideways immediately. He heard Fett sigh. The next thing Din was aware of was a blanket being draped over his shoulders, which he clutched to himself immediately. And then Fett was back and settling himself down beside Din, who listed into Fett instead of the empty air on his other side. Like last time, the contact was good. Fett felt warmer than a sun, and Din couldn't help but try and curl into him, seeking comfort without really knowing why. Fett gave it, easily. Din drifted like that for a while, tucked into Fett's side, huddled in the blanket like he'd never get warm again. His new little bruises throbbed in time with his heartbeat, and Din gradually pulled himself back together, using them as a guide, following the echoes of his pulse back into his body. Din managed to lift his head, feeling wrung out and withered, like he'd been left in the suns for days. Fett, who had had an arm around Din's shoulders and had been tracing nonsense patterns against Din's ribs, stopped moving.
"Back with me?" he asked.
Din nodded.
"I think so," he rasped.
"Good," said Fett. "Drink this." He pushed a water skin into Din's hands. Din had listened to Fett so far, so he didn't bother arguing about this. He drank until the water skin was dry, then handed it back to Fett.
"Want your shirt back?" Fett asked.
Din looked at his shirt, which was discarded on the floor, and at Fett. Fett would have to get up to go and get it.
"Not really," Din mumbled, tucking himself back against Fett's side. It wasn't quite as comfortable this time. Even sitting down, Din was taller than Fett and had to crane his neck a little to get the angle that felt best. But Din was too tired to care. Embarrassment and shame were behind him, still standing pressed up against the wall. Din was safe here.
"Ah," said Fett, brushing a few strands of hair out of Din's face. He sounded fond again, which meant that Din hadn't messed up too badly.
"Not entirely back, are we?"
Din made an agreeable noise.
He had no idea what Fett was talking about. Din hadn't left. He'd been with Fett all evening.
Jerrica, Fett said, do you want me to take you to your own rooms, or do you want to stay up here for a little while?
Going back to Din's own room would mean moving, which he was pretty sure he was incapable of. He told Fett so, or tried to. It was hard to talk when his face was muffled up against Fett's shoulder. Fett chuckled. Din felt it with his entire body. It was almost as warming as the blanket. All right, Fett said, shifting so that they were more comfortably pressed together. All right, fine. For a little while. Then I'll take you back to your own bed, all right? We will talk in the morning. Din had just enough awareness left to catch Fett's phrasing. Will talk, not can talk. Din probably wouldn't be able to avoid him. Din thought about that for a minute. It didn't bother him, at least not right then. Nothing could bother him. He leaned harder against Fett, warm darkness dragging at the edges of his eyes. Whatever Fett wanted to talk about, Din would worry about it in the morning. Fett shoved him lightly. Welcome home, he said. But Din was already asleep.